This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, While You Were Worrying, God Was Working.
You know, I've been convinced, after being on the planet a little while, not as much as some of you young folks, but I've been on the planet a while, I'm convinced that in our life we go through seasons, that there are times when everything is going the way it should go, everything we think is going the way we want it to go, and then there are times when things take a turn, and we're filled with surprises because life is filled with surprises. One day you're walking along and you think everything is going great, and you get a phone call, everything changes. One day you feel like you're on top of the world, and the next day you feel like you're at the bottom of the pit. And sometimes we go through seasons when it's seasons of anxiety and seasons of stress, seasons of fear, concern. Are you going through such a season today? A season of trouble in your life? Are you troubled this morning? Are you worried this morning? You feeling anxiety and stress this morning? So what worries you? Well, the dictionary defines worry as the feeling that's above, a feeling of unease about something uncertain or threatening, to be troubled, anxious, or distressed. Are you any of those things this morning? Is your worry, if you are worried, financial? Is it home life issues, family issues, health issues, how things are going at work, school, with family, with friends? Americans in large numbers are worried about the direction the country is going in. We talked about that last week with all of the polls that have come out. The economy, healthcare, safety, security. But you know, the more things change, the more they remain the same. And the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. And so I want to share with you that in our text this morning, it reminds us of two things. One, worry is not a new phenomenon. And while you were worrying, God was working. Think about it. While you were worrying, God was working. So let's get some background on our text this morning. It's about 580 BC. The widow of one of Israel's prophets has been left with a mountain of debt after her husband's death. She's got so much debt hanging over her. I don't know, and we don't know what created it. What created their financial crisis? Were they living beyond their means? Had they borrowed too much? Did they make some bad investments? Did they get caught in an economic downturn? Whatever, we don't know, but there they were. All we know is her creditors have been hounding and threatening her for payment. It's not like today. In 580 BC, the threats were pretty severe. This woman had two sons, and they were her only means of support. And now her creditors had gotten together, and they'd gone to court. And according to Jewish law, these two young boys could be put into indentured slavery and serve out a 7-year term of trying to pay back the family debts. Can you imagine that? They don't just call you up and harass you. Now they take your kids away or you away. Today we have a completely different system. There's a sign that was up in Chicago on one of the main highways, and the sign read something like this, talking about family debts, and it says, now you can borrow enough money to get yourself completely out of debt. Underneath did it say the United States government? Whose philosophy is that? Now you can borrow enough money to get yourself completely out of debt. And I'm sure there are people who say, great idea, let me call that 800 number. The widow in our text has done all she could, and now in desperation, she finally turns to God and a man of God named Elisha. Let's text the account. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. So Elijah asks the same question of this lady that your best friend would, that a family member who loves you would, that a doctor would, that your pastor would. And the question is, what's the matter? How can I help you? Looking into her eyes, what's the matter? Why are you so troubled? Why are you so fearful? What can I do to help? Paul writes that there's no difference with God. Philippians 4:6 says about God, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. When you're going through a time like this, I want to hear from you. How many people going through hard times, you don't see them in church for months? Now, in my mind and in my thinking, it seems when you're going through a hard time that you should be here more. Amen, somebody. It's not about less, it's about more. You need more of the gospel. You need to be getting into God's word more. You need to be praying more, not stepping away. God already knows what's happening in your life, but he wants to hear it from you. God wants to hear you say, God, I'm scared. God, I'm depressed. God, I'm stressed out. I'm anxious. I'm at the end of my rope. I'm a nervous wreck. I feel like I'm losing control of my life and my mind. I don't know where to turn next. God wants to hear those words from you and from me. He wants to hear that you're confused. He wants to hear that you're angry. He wants to hear that you don't know what's happening next and that you're out of control. And then the words that he wants to hear more than any other words are, God, help me. Sometimes just hearing yourself say those words or writing them down starts a process of getting the issue out of your mind and onto the table, getting it out of the dark and into the light. And verse 1 shows in Elijah, God provided a sounding board for her deep-seated anxieties. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes God's answer to our anxiety is another person's listening ear. Just somebody to come alongside and tell me what's the matter. How can I help? Just talk to me. Well, God's always there for you to talk to. And sometimes he sends angels into your life. Sometimes he sends a brother or a sister or a friend who knows Christ as their Savior into your life, and you can share with them what's going on in your heart and in your mind. A listening ear, a strong comforting arm of support. When you're limping, a strong arm can get you across the street. Proverbs 27:17. One of Jeff and my favorite verses says, iron sharpens iron. Two people coming together and talking things through. A godly counselor can bring the truths of Scripture, a perspective, encouragement, consolation, a prayer partner, or a plan to work through your anxieties, real or imagining. Just sitting around and stressing out and worrying and being depressed and distressed all by yourself isn't going to cut it. Worrying alone does not diminish your problems. It just adds to them. Stress and worry break us down. They make us sick. They're the unseen sources of headaches, backaches, and belly aches. They give us knotted stomachs, sleepless nights, high blood pressure, low morale. They make our tempers short and our nights long. Elijah tells the widow, it's time to start looking outside yourself for solutions. You've been internalizing this thing. You've been angst out over this thing. You've kept it inside. Now that you've brought it out, it's time to look outside yourself for solutions. Verse 2, he asks, what have you got around the house? What's that about, Pastor? In other words, what are you overlooking that God is already providing? What are you overlooking that God's already providing? Sometimes the answer to your problems are right under your nose, and you miss it. As a friend of mine once said to me when I was going through a very difficult period in my life, and I was like, wow, we talk about stress and anxiety and all this stuff. My friend said to me, Bob, you've got options. And I sat there and I thought about that as I sat at my desk. I've got options. I was so focused on my problems, so focused on the things that were disturbing me. I was so stressed out and so angry and so upset and so all the emotions you can have. I couldn't see any way to overcome my issues. I had options that God already provided, but my anxieties blinded me to them. We allow the circumstance we're going through at this particular moment to be so big that it overshadows the opportunity to resolve these things. We let these giants come into our life. Now, once they're there, what do you do with it? Well, I know a little guy who faced a giant that nobody in his country even wanted to go up against, even want to look at, never even wanted to challenge. That little guy, David, got into the valley. He picked up a couple of stones, real small stones. He put one into a slingshot. He fired it, and the giant came down with God's help and with God's strong arm. Are there giants in your life this morning? Giants of depression, giants of fear, giants of sorrow, giants of distress. Are they there? The way God worked with David is the way he can work with you. There is a stone someplace in your life that can take that giant down. I only know of one great stone, one great rock. It's called Jesus. Elijah gets a vision from the Lord that you can make a lot of money with oil. Sound interesting? I mean, come on. Hello, somebody. Maybe that's how Exxon began. I don't know. Both Elijah and the widow knew the accounts of God, how he had taken care of his people's worries, anxieties, and stresses, how these times when the Jewish people were leaving Egypt from slavery and on their way through the wilderness to the promised land, they had all of this angst. They loved it. They were obsessed with all of the reasons why this wasn't going to work. Have you met people like that in your life? You share one bit of positive news, they've got 17 negatives to follow it. All the reasons why you'll never get better. All the reasons why your diet won't work. All the reasons why you won't succeed in business. All the reasons why you shouldn't quit that lousy job. All the reasons why you'll never succeed. All the reasons why. But the Jewish people had seen God throughout their history and the way in which he worked when they had those seasons where they were doubtful, where they were confused, where they were disbelieving, and they didn't know what the next step was. Follow me on that journey. In Exodus 13, the children of Israel wondered about how they would find their way through the wilderness. And what does God do? When they leave Egypt from slavery, God provides a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In other words, his own very dramatic GPS. Here they are following the cloud and following the fire. And God takes them through the wilderness. In Exodus 14, they worried about how they would cross the Red Sea. Remember, the army's behind them. The sea is before them. And now they're all stressed out. How are we ever going to get across that? And then God parts the waters, and they walk on dry ground. And then in Exodus 15 and 17, they worried about how they were going to find water in the desert. That seems like a good reason to be worried. How are we going to find water in this desert? It's nothing but sand and sun. I mean, maybe you could put up a resort. Maybe you can make a lot of money, but there's no water. A place called Marah, God turns the bitter waters that are there, which were undrinkable, into sweet drinkable waters. At a place called Horeb, Moses strikes a rock and water comes out. You're worried about water? I'll provide. Exodus 16, they wondered about how they were going to find food. Now they just, you know, we just got water. And now they're starting to worry about how they're going to find food. We run out of food. And from heaven, God delivers quail and manna. Manna means, what is it? I'm still wondering what it is. Being in the army, having chipped beef on toast as a kid from Brooklyn, I didn't know what it was. And I said, what's this? They said, shut up, eat. So now quail and manna fall from heaven. This is the first recorded account of a food delivery. Get the door. It's Domino's. Believer, your God is the same God who provided for them out of their desperation, and he will provide for you. If you can look back on these promises and see that God does provide, get them etched into the memory bank. God will provide for you. He's the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. This God will make a way for you through the wilderness of your doubt and your confusion. This God will part the waters of despair that threaten to swallow you up. Verse 3, Elijah tells the dear lady, go to your neighbors and get as many pots as they have. Don't just get one. Get as many as you can get your hands on. I mean, if you're going to pray for rain, you should get ready for a deluge. Now, the other day, at the funeral, we had a deluge. Some of us were praying for no rain, but we had a deluge. I don't know if you remember, a couple of years ago in the state of Georgia, there was a deep drought that really the state was in terrible condition. Atlanta was in terrible condition. The weeks and the months that had gone out, and they were just about out of water. And then the governor of Georgia got this idea. He said, I'd like folks who believe that there is power in prayer to meet me in Atlanta, and I'd like us to have a prayer meeting, and I'd like us to pray for rain. Now, guess what, MSNBC, guess what, CBS, guess what the whole bunch of those elites started to say about that? This man's out of his mind. Doesn't he know that there is no God? Doesn't he know that this prayer business is a lot of baloney? This will never happen. People got together, they prayed. I think it was about a day or two later. It started to rain very lightly. And the critic said, that's nothing. You call that rain. It's nothing but a shower. It can't help. It's only going to wet your head. It can't do anything else. It's not going to end the drought. Then a few weeks later, it started to rain heavier. And then it rained heavier and heavier and heavier. And it wasn't long before the drought was over. And the elitist critic said, just a coincidence. There are no such things as coincidences in God's economy. When the droughts of faith threaten to dry up your hope, you keep praying until something happens. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep praying until something happens, and then get ready for God's provision. Verse 4, the widow is instructed to close the door of her house. This is not going to be a public spectacle. This is not for show. This is a demonstration of God's ordinary care for his children. It may seem he's using extraordinary means to accomplish his provision for you, but it's nothing extraordinary for the God who spoke creation into being. In verse 5 and 6, Elijah says, pour out the oil and keep pouring. Keep pouring. You and your boys pour the oil, one vessel into the empties, and keep pouring until they are filled. One vessel, one jar. From that one jar, they fill up one other jar, then another jar, then another jar, then another jar. And as many jars of oil, as many jars that were empty, are now filled with oil. It's a miracle. But it's really how God provides for you and me. God is not cheap. God is not stingy. When God pours out his blessing upon you, it comes like it says here in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Listen, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Do you realize how blessed you are? Do you realize the blessings of Christ that have been poured upon you? Your salvation, your forgiveness, your sanctification, your justification, your redemption. Do you realize you're going to heaven? Do you realize that no weapon formed against you can hurt you? Do you realize that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? That no matter what comes down the pike to attack you and push you over and kill you and destroy you, it can't happen. God's on your side. And what's the worst that can happen anyway? If you know Christ is your Savior and you were to pass from this place, man, you're going home to be with the Lord. And there ain't a better place to be. If you could, you could ask Blanche today or Larry. You could ask our dearly departed brethren over the last year. And they'll tell you a couple of things. I never want to come back down there again. As long as mom and her boys poured in faith, believing, God's blessings continued to be poured out. They poured with their faith, not with their fears, anxieties, worries, or doubts, and God honored that faith. If worry is the sand of life that gets into the gears of your everyday, then faith is the oil of life which smooths out those gears. Sand will destroy an engine. Oil will give more life to it. If you allow worry and stress and fear, anxiety and depression, sorrow, and all those other things to occupy your heart and your mind, it will gum up the gears and bring you to a standstill. Faith, worry, is faith in the negative, trust in the unpleasant, assurance of disaster, belief in defeat, and worry denies God the opportunity to be God in your life. When you're anxious, when you're stressed, when you're depressed, when you're worried, when you're concerned, when you've got things on your mind that you think are greater than God, let me tell you something. You are already defeating yourself. You're allowing yourself to sink deeper and deeper into that depression. You're not holding on to the one lifeline that's already out there. You've got God. With God, nothing is impossible. Fear, anxiety, worry, stress, depression put us in control over situations over which we have no control. Think about that. I mean, really, all of these negative feelings are driving you. They're in control. But the Bible says that God wants to be in control of my life. His Holy Spirit wants to be in control of my life. I'm supposed to be yielding to Him, submitting to Him, so that He can be controlling my life. He's got a plan for me. He's got His eye on me. He's got His hand of protection on me. He's got you in the palm of His hand. No man can pluck you out. No situation can pluck you out. No dark times can pluck you out of God's hand. You've got something nobody can take away from you. That's your salvation, and that's your relationship to the Lord. That is eternal. That is long-lasting. That'll never go by the wayside. Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. God knows what you're going through. And the scripture says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in your worry, he that is in your anxiety. What's got you this morning that you haven't given over to the Lord by now? What thoughts are occupying your mind and your heart and consuming your time and consuming your productive moments and consuming your time in the book? Listen, when tough time comes, go here. When stress comes, go here. When depression comes, go here. When sorrow comes, go here. When fear comes, go here. When confusion comes, go here. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Let the Holy Spirit be your counselor. Let Him use the textbook of life that God has given you and me, His Word, to get you through a time like this, a season like this. Maybe the circumstance will not change, but guess what? You can. The situation may not change, but you can. Listen to these words from the scripture. Psalm 55:22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer, never allow the righteous to be moved. Put your burden upon the Lord. Put your trust in Him. The only unmovable, the only unshakable, the only thing that can never change is God and His Word, because God and His Word are one. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Where are you going to go? What are you going to lead with this morning? Are you going to be leading with faith in the negative? Are you going to be leading with your fear? Are you going to be leading with your anxiety? Are you going to be leading with your stress, your depression, your distress? Are those the things that are going to dominate your days ahead and your weeks ahead? Or are you going to allow God's Holy Spirit to do that with His Word? You know, it's up to you. God's not going to put a gun to your head. Tomorrow has two handles, the handle of fear and the handle of faith. You can take hold of it by either handle, and the choice is up to you. Final thought. As we go along on this journey called life, we're sitting at the steering wheel and we're looking out of the windshield. Okay? Sometimes looking out the windshield, you can't see how God is going to get you through this current situation. You're looking straight ahead. You cannot possibly see how God is going to get you through this situation. But eventually the crisis is going to pass. And when the crisis passes, you're going to look in the rear view mirror. And when you look in the rear view mirror, you're going to see how it was that God got you through this time. You're going to see that while you were worrying, God was working. You just didn't see it. No matter what losses or broken dreams may lie in my destiny, I will meet each challenge with dignity and resolve. For God has given me many gifts. And for each one that I may lose, I will find 10 more that I never would have cultivated were the course of my life always to run smoothly. And so, when I can no longer dance, I will sing joyfully. And when I haven't the strength to sing, I will whistle with contentment. When my breath is shallow and weak, I will listen intently and shout love with my heart. And when the bright light approaches, I will pray silently until I cannot pray. Then it will be time for me to go to the Lord. And then what should I fear? Amen. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. Or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.